servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me.
Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God presented to you by the Macarius Church Headquarters. This great teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for anyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teachings as taught at the Macarius Church Headquarters.
I am listening, I am waiting, speak to me.
Father, thank you for this morning.
For the entrance of thy word that giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. Pray for the spirit of revelation in the word. May the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. May we know the hope of our calling and the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe. Thank you for this power that was able to raise Christ from the dead, and will therefore raise everything that is dead in our lives. Your word will quicken us, for your word declares that your word is quick, alive and active, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank you, Father, for the power of your word. In the word of the King, there is power. We receive that power today to transform us. For you said we should indeed be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We shouldn't copy the customs of this world, but we should be changed, thinking like you, reasoning like you, like mature men and not children. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord, and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Welcome to all those who are joining us by Facebook, YouTube, Sweet Melodies, Dofopa FM. Bishop Eddie is on a short break. God willing, he'll be back next week here preaching. Amen. Nevertheless, we continue in our battles for enlargement. Amen. Because this is a powerful revelation, prophetic revelation of this season. You are in your season for enlargement. Your family is in a season of enlargement. This church is in a season of enlargement. Nothing that you are managing will be small anymore in the name of Jesus. You know, one day prophet said something. He said he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, everything I have done has been small. Hasn't really grown. Hasn't really become big. But you see, I think God was about to shock him and surprise him. Because after that, nothing that he has done has been small. And that will be your story as well. Amen. So today we are on Joshua chapter 7 and chapter 8. You know, when you are studying the word of God, you can either have a topical study, where you take a topic like angels and you study it. That's a topical study. And then you can have a telescopic study, which is where you just scan across a book of the Bible and bring out some major themes. And I believe this study we are doing is a combination of a telescopic study and a book study. We are actually studying the book of Joshua. And Bishop Eddie has led us right from chapter 1. We are guided by this powerful book, Enlargement Secrets, written by Father Bishop Dagwood Mills, to study this book of Joshua. And you realize that, well, today we are on chapter 12 of Enlargement Secrets, which is enlarged by involving everyone in the work. Enlarged by involving everyone in the work. And I like to say that Bishop Eddie has been so good and so kind to me. He's actually giving me his notes. So as I'm preaching what Bishop Eddie has prepared. Oh, I thought you would be happy. Amen. You see, the book of Joshua begins from the end of Deuteronomy, where you hear about the death of Moses. So in the last chapter of Deuteronomy chapter 34, in verse 9, I'm reading from the New English Translation. If you don't have it, you can give us NLT or whatever. It says, "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had placed his hands on him." Maybe I should actually read from verse 5. "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, as the Lord has said. He buried him in the valley in the land of Moab." That is, God buried Moses. So nobody knows the burying place of Moses. Actually, that's why there's this scene in the book of Jude, where it talks about Satan trying to come for the body of Moses and God sending Michael to tell him that, hey, don't touch that body because we know you have bad intentions. So God buried Moses, and the Bible says in verse 10 that no prophet ever again arose in Israel like Moses, who knew the Lord face to face. And God himself had said that about Moses. He said that Moses is not like the other prophets. The other prophets, I give them dark sayings, I give them riddles, I give them, you know, things to say. But with Moses, I appear to him and speak to him face to face. Verse 11 says, "He did all the signs and wonders the Lord has sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, all his servants, and the whole land. And he displayed great power and awesome might in view of all Israel." Now, when I think about this, I realize that, wow, Moses was great. I mean, there's no man like him. I mean, the next time we heard Moses being compared to somebody, was being compared to Christ. And the author of the book of Hebrews decided to tell us that Christ was greater than Moses. That's how great you can see Moses was. But interestingly, Moses never entered the promised land. It was Joshua, his successor, who took the people of Israel into the promised land. You see, it shows you that God is in the process. You see, God works like in a relay, where he takes one person, uses him mightily, and then at a point, hands over. You see, because the other day, Bishop Eddie was sharing with us that your fathers, are they forever? I mean, no matter how great Moses was, Moses could not live forever. Even Methuselah didn't live forever because of sin. So in your life, watch out for the next person who is coming that God is introducing into your life to take you to another level. Just like Joshua. Oh yes, it's a good place to clap. You see, because Joshua was coming on the scene to take the people of God into the promised land and beyond. That's why you see that it is God who is working and not a man who is working. Moses, God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead." You see, after Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Get ready. Cross the Jordan River. Lead these people into the land that I'm ready to hand over to them." This is a powerful revelation that should make you know that God is at work in your life. I said, God is at work in your life. God is leading you to another place. God has lands for you to conquer. God has new territories for you. And as we are in this enlargement series, prepare for God to lead you into greater territories, greater things, greater knowledge of Him. Your business is also going greater. Your accomplishments in school are going to become greater. New terrain, new territory. I like the song that the Cherry sang last week. They said, "No limits, no boundaries. I see increase all around me. Break forth." Say to somebody, break forth. Break forth. Release me. Enlarge my territory. Your territory is enlarging in the name of Jesus. Amen. So you see this powerful transition going on and Joshua leading the people into the promised land. But for our short study of Joshua chapter 7 and Joshua chapter 6, let's begin by reading Joshua chapter 7 verses 1 to 6. Joshua chapter 7 verses 1 to 6. But the Israelites disobeyed the command about the city's riches. That's Jericho. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, stole some of the riches. The Lord was furious with the Israelites. Mercy. Verse 2. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is located near Beth Aven, east of Bethel, and instructed them, go up and spy on the land. So the men went up and spied on Ai. They returned and reported to Joshua, don't send the whole army. About 2,000 or 3,000 men are adequate to defeat Ai. Don't tire out the whole army, for Ai is small. So about 3,000 men went up, but they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai killed about 36 of them and chased them from in front of the city gate all the way to the fishers and defeated them on the steep slope. The people's courage melted away like water. Mercy. Joshua tore his clothes. He and the leaders of Israel lay face down on the ground before the ark of the Lord until evening and threw dirt on their heads. Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. The Lord told Joshua, don't be afraid and don't panic. Take the whole army with you and march against Ai. See, I am handing over to you the king of Ai, along with his people, city and land. Do to Ai and its king what you did to Jericho and its king, except you may plunder its goods and cattle, set an ambush behind the city. So for this morning's study of Joshua 7 and 8, I would like to look at one, the background. Where is this revelation coming from? This revelation that when you are doing the work, you should involve everyone. What's the background? And then a couple of lessons that we will learn from this defeat of the people at Ai, and then how to involve everyone in the work. So you see that the background is that they had defeated Jericho. Jericho was a very powerful victory, and the Lord had warned them that destroy everything in Jericho. And the people thought that that was what had happened. But a certain man called Achan had stolen some of the things. And last week we learned that Achan's sin was a sin of covetousness, where you take things that belong to the Lord. May you not fall into the sin of covetousness. Because we learned that we come into this world with nothing. When a baby is born, he has nothing. She has not even clothes. Not even teeth. Mercy. And when a person is leaving, he leaves with nothing. The people in my region, Kobe Krum, they were telling me about a young guy at age 20. He had, through browsing, bought lands, houses, and he bought a Mercedes Benz. 20-year-old. And he had boys under him whom he was helping to, he was training them in their ways. You see, because they're browsing, you can browse. Fraud browsing, normal, low-level browsing, and get laptops and things like that. But if you want to move into the level of getting Mercedes-Benz,
When you want to move into that level, you have to go and see the medicine people. Yeah. And they can tell you that, well, you know, you can have the riches. We will help you to be rich. But only that, you see this hen, we are going to put some grains of corn on the ground. The hen is going to peck at the grains of corn. And when, how many grains the hen pecks are the number of years you will enjoy these riches. Yeah. So that's how come.
I mean, they say in 1 week you can have 3 Mercedes Benz. So no problem. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about 17, 18 year old boys. Yeah.
So this guy bought a Benz on the 6th of January. This year. By the 16th of January, he had a major accident and died. Because his time was up. Yeah. Yeah. You see, I mean, one of the things that is associated with covetousness is haste. I mean, what are you, a 17-year-old boy, to go to Mercedes Benz at 17? Or 18? You know, so covetousness is a major thing that I pray to God that He delivers your heart. It says, for godliness with contentment. One of the versions actually says, godliness with contentment is great wealth. It's wealth on its own to be content in this life. Oh. For it is certain that, he said, we brought nothing. We cannot take anything away. So, show us that verse. Verse Timothy says, Paul said that if we have food and raiment, that is, we are not walking about naked. Because even now, the jeans that have come, they will cut the two. So, it's like, sometimes... Food, and by the grace of God, we have food to eat and raiment. Anyway, so that was, I know that's a flashback on last week. Enlarge. Do you know something? Achan should just have waited, though. Achan should just have waited because the next town, Ai. When God gave them the instruction in Joshua 8, He told them that unlike Jericho, this time when you plunder, the things are for you. So covetousness is just a matter of patience. So whatever you are looking for, it will come all by the grace of God. In it, you see, God, He had made all things beautiful in His time. In His time. You see, God made Abraham a promise of a child. But other people had ideas as to how he could get that child. So he rushed. Before he realized, Ishmael was on the scene. Because of Ishmael, we now have Gaza and all these problems. So, because God told him, can you read Joshua 8? He said, you will destroy them as you destroyed Jericho and its, but this time you may keep the plunder and the livestock for yourselves. Oh, just one battle away. Just one battle away. So what I'm saying is that the background of that, they had defeated Jericho. They're now going to Ai. But look at, let's go back to Joshua 7, verse 1. And verse 2. Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Beth Aven. Verse 3. When they returned, they told Joshua, there's no need for all of us to go up here. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai. Since there are so few of them, that is, Ai is a small town with few people,
Don't make all our people struggle to go up there. Just send a few men. Okay, next verse. So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. Go back to the King James. It said, they chased them and they beat them. You see, the origin of this sound defeat was, number one, spiritual. Because remember that Achan had stolen the goods, so God was against the people. But the second thing also is that the people did not seek the face of God for this battle. And the lesson here is that, please, for every battle is different. So for every battle in your life, seek the face of God about how do I approach this one? Which David shows us very powerfully in 2 Samuel, I believe chapter 6, where David inquired of the Lord when the Philistines came against him. The Bible says David inquired of the Lord and the Lord showed him the strategy for the battle. And he defeated the Philistines. But the second time when the Philistines came against David, he asked, what should I do? The strategy was different.
Come on now.
You see, so you don't go and presume. Have you found it? Yeah. Go up. There's another battle before that in 2 Samuel chapter 5. A few verses before. Where it talks about the Philistines spreading out themselves. Yeah. Verse 18. The Philistines also came. Oh, no, that's okay. And spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Next verse. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up? You see, so even to fight the battle, you see, it's not every battle that you fight. Oh. If you are a small boy and you like fighting, you may be in the midst of a battle and realize you chose the wrong opponent. Meanwhile, you're in the battle. You chose the wrong opponent. No, it happened to me. We were playing football one day as a small boy. Play football, and this small boy misbehaved. So I attacked him to teach him a lesson that, you know, you are a small boy and we are grown ups. Behave yourself. So whilst I was sorting, I didn't know that his big brother was not happy with my disciplining his small brother. So I was standing there when he came from and kicked him. And I just behaved like, oh, you know, this, we are just, you know. Although I looked at that guy, I literally, look, if I try. Choose your battles carefully. It's not every fight that you fight. You don't fight every battle. You don't fight every battle. Some battles just walk away, find a way of just, you know, neutralizing so that, you know, it's not actually, it's okay. Now, David said, he said, the Lord said, shall I go up? Would thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. Next verse. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, the Lord had broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Next verse. And there, they left their images, whatever. Now you can go back to where you should. The Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David, you see, David didn't say that, God has given me the Philistines the first time, so I'm going to face them again. No. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up. Don't go and face them. But, no, give us the NLT so we can understand, because they have come past another old words that we don't understand them. He says, and David again asked the Lord, what to do? Do not attack them straight on. The Lord replied, instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. Look, when you hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, be on the alert. That will be the signal that the Lord is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. Beautiful. Beautiful. May you never move until the Lord himself has moved. Otherwise, you find yourself retreating before Ai. I mean, can you imagine? Jericho was walled and huge. And the people managed to defeat Jericho. But Ai was a small town with a few people. And they soundly defeated them. Killed 36 of them. It's like Black Stars and Cape Verde. No. You see, when you read 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6, I believe, Jonathan had a battle, or rather, Jonathan engaged in a battle. Is it 46? Let it be 1 Samuel. Jonathan engaged in a battle. And it was just he and his armor bearer who attacked the Philistines. Two people. And when they were going up, I think his armor bearer was not sure. But I think that day Jonathan was like Rambo, because Rambo and his boss alone, I saw them kill a large army of Afghan soldiers. That's Rambo 2 or Rambo 3. I said, and Jonathan said to the young man, that boy is armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. There's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. So it is true that the Lord can save by few. But if you've seen the Lord save by few in a past question, it doesn't mean that today or tomorrow God is going to save by few, or God saves by few all the time. God is not, you can't put God into your formula. And I think that that's why we need to depend on Him, and that's why we need to wait upon God, and that's why we don't need to rush into things. Okay? And if you remember, when Gideon was also going to fight a battle, some Judges chapter 7 or so, the Lord actually made him reduce the army systematically. And he said some people were afraid and all that, so lead them to the riverside, see how many. No, first he told them that all those who are afraid, go home. Then a lot of them went. Then later he said, lead them to the river and let them drink. Now those who drink in a certain way can be retained, and those who drink in a certain way should go home. So I want to say that God is not a God who can be put in a box. Seek His face. Let Him show you the strategy. The people came and said, Ai, 2,000 or 3,000, will go up. We defeat them. And they were defeated. So what did God do after they were defeated? In Joshua 8, He told Moses, Joshua chapter 8. So Joshua, let's read from verse 1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid or discouraged. He said, I want to tell you somebody, maybe you've been defeated in something, or you made a mistake, and you've suffered a defeat. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. You can come back again. You can win the same battle that you lost. You can win it in Jesus' name. Do not be afraid of this. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai, for I have given you the king of Ai, his people, his town, and his land. You will destroy them as you destroy Jericho and its king. But this time, you may keep the plunder and the livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the town. Verse 3. So Joshua and all the fighting men set out to attack. Joshua chose 30,000 of his best warriors and sent them out at night. Do you see that the first army was only 10% of the army that conquered the land? 10%. So when God wants you to engage 30,000 people, you are engaging 3,000 people. Why will you not be defeated? And that is where we come to our theme for today, that for the work of God, everyone must be involved in the work. Even when we're in primary school, they taught us, we are all involved. We are all involved. We are all involved in building a Maha. Arise, Ghana youth, for your country. The nation demands your devotion.
I don't know those. But the cross there, I know.
We are all involved. We are all involved.
So if you don't get involved, you know, I think that that's one of the things that God even teaches us with the human body. For you to eat, for instance, you need to use your locomotor system, walking to the place where the food is. And when you get there, you need your limbs. Because even if you're eating with fork and knife or whatever, your arms have to work. Because where the food is going is the stomach, which is part of the gastrointestinal system. But if the body thinks that it's only the gastrointestinal system that is benefiting, so I will not walk to go and get the food. I'm not involving myself in getting the food. I will sit here. Stomach, if you can't walk there and go and get the food, it's up to you. What will happen? After a while, these legs will not even be able to move. They can't move. Because the stomach has not received the food and turned it around, digested it, and produced energy for you. So, brethren, when it comes to working in the church, have that mind that I must be involved, you must be involved, she must be involved, we must all be involved. Everyone must be involved in doing the work. Church is not for pew warmers. You just come and sit down and receive a message and you say, oh, me, my part is giving offering. Offering to, we are all involved in it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, there are some football teams that are known in history as some of the greatest football teams of all time. Yeah, there was an Ajax team. Ajax of Amsterdam. I mean, I'm talking about football history. I mean, some of you know just Real Madrid and Barcelona, but they became great recently. But there are some great footballing teams, and one of them was the AC Milan team of the late 1980s, coached by Arrigo Sacchi. He had players like Franco Baresi, Ruud Gullit, and Marco van Basten. That small one I know. And he said that we defended by attacking and pressing. And part of his strategy was called collective intelligence. I don't know what exactly that means, but he said it means 11 active players are involved at any moment of the game, both in defense and in attack. Everybody is involved. We are all pressing. We are all retreating. We are all moving forward. Nobody, you see, that team had one of the greatest defenders in the world. His name was Frank Rijkaard. Even though he was a defender, he was scoring goals. Because their mind was like, hey, we are not just sitting down. We are all moving together. We are all attacking together. We are all retreating together. We are all waiting for instructions. Oh, yes. I think that sometimes when you're in church for a while, you get tired. Things become routine. Do you understand me? So you may feel, no, you can even decide to change your position. Do you know that sometimes when players are in a team and they are not doing well in one position, they can be moved to another position. You see them shining over there.
So if Bacenta didn't work for you, we have MAF now. If Cherries didn't work for you, we have Ready at 20. If Freshly didn't work for you, we have Ashes. I mean, do something instead of sitting down and saying, as for me, I just come to church and you are among the 3,000. But we don't want an army of 3,000. We want an army of 30,000. 30,000. 30,000. 30,000. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, if we want to involve everyone in the work, what are some of the people? You see, in biblical history, you find some of these apostles doing things this way. So when you look at Apostle Paul, he involved everybody in the work. In 1 Timothy, so one of the people that Apostle Paul involved in the work was older men. So 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 in the King James. It says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father and the younger men as brethren. So he recognized that fathers have a role to play in the church. Or older men have a role to play in the church. So if you think you're an older man, you still have your role to play. Number two, you're talking about groups that Paul involved in the work so that everybody would be involved. Number two, younger men. So that same verse, 1 Timothy 5:1, shows us that there are younger men who are as brethren, whom must be treated that way. Number three, older women. Older women. And this is 1 Timothy 5:2. It says, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Number four. We are talking about, you'll be in one of these places. You'll be in one of these groups. And you have to be involved. And you have to play your part. It says, younger women, number four. 1 Timothy 5:2 again. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Number five, servants. Servants. 1 Timothy 6:1. The Bible says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So you see that when you read Romans chapter 16, which is the last chapter of the book of Romans, take us there to verse 1. You see Paul's laborers, fellow workers. It's just nice. He says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Sancrea. Verse 2. That he receive her in the Lord. Verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now Priscilla and Aquila were married people. There are some people, they are active in the church until they get married and start having children. Then they stop being involved. And they join the 27,000 who don't go and fight. But today you are coming back to fight in the name of Jesus. Verse 3. Oh, this next verse. Who are for my sake? Next verse. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Next verse. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Next verse. Salute Andronicus and Junior, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles and who also were in Christ before me. So apostles were involved in the work. Next verse. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Next verse. Salute Eben, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. You see, so this was a house that they had a MAF meeting in. So you have to get involved by using your house for a MAF meeting. You'll be the hosts. And I hear some hosts, they are disappearing hosts. But it's still okay.
You have given us your house, it's still okay. Gradually you also come. Because they are hosting, but sometimes they are absent. They are not there. Next one says, salute Herodion, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the house of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. These are ladies who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. So that's an older woman. The mother of Rufus was also in the work. I think from today, you have to be sure that you find something to do in the house of God. I think so. Ask your neighbor, are you beginning to find something to do in the house of God? You ask them. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes. Oh, clap for the laborers. Oh, yes. Everyone was involved in the work. Number six. I'm talking about Timothy groups, as we call them. Poor people. Or in this case, widows. 1 Timothy 5:3 says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Number seven, rich people. 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And then number eight, leaders who must all be involved in the work. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And you know, Bishop Big D, it's not only Paul who talked about involving everybody. John the Apostle also talked about it. So in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, John is talking about little children. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Years ago, I read a book called The Happiest People on Earth. I'd recommend that you get it. It's a very powerful book full of testimonies. It was written by the founder of Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. His name was Demos Shakarian. He was from Armenia. Armenia is very close to Turkey. And in those years, Armenia was a Christian nation and Turkey had the Muslim group. I'm trying to remember their name. It'll come. And there was a 7-year-old boy. They nicknamed him the boy prophet. And they nicknamed him the boy prophet because at 7 years of age, he began to go on vigils outside of town for 2 weeks, praying and seeing visions. 7 years old, little child. So one day he came back from his vigil retreat tour, having drawn on a piece of paper a map, and said that God told him in the dream, it's the Ottoman text, Ottoman Empire, they were Muslims. God told him in a dream that one of these days he's going to tell all the Armenian Christians who lived there to move to this land that he had drawn on a piece of paper. Now this boy is a 7-year-old but locally trained. I don't think his geography was that advanced. But those who studied the map he had drawn realized that he had drawn a map of the United States of America. But you see, those people had been introduced to Pentecostalism, dreams and visions in a very powerful way. Because Demos' grandfather was converted on this wise.
The man used to host. Actually, he wasn't a host. But the Christians used to have what they call love feasts. And in the love feast, they would arrive in the town. And then they would ask for a bull or a cow. One whole one. To have the love feast with. And they had a powerful ceremony. When the food was prepared and they were about to eat, their leader, who was an elder, would rise up with his beard and say, "Let us pray for the Holy Ghost to fall down." If the Holy Ghost didn't fall down, they didn't eat the food. So Demas's grandfather was told one day, he was not a believer. He didn't believe in all these visions, dreams, and all this. He didn't believe in them. So they told him that, "We want you to host us." Now, he agreed to host them. And one of their requirements was the animal that should be used for the feast should be an animal without blemish, according to Old Testament standards. So this man, who was a dairy farmer, his best bull, the biggest, when he went to see the bull, he realized that one eye of the bull was bad. The bull was blind in one eye. So he shouldn't choose it. But he felt that since he was giving to the Lord, he might as well give his best. So he arranged to cut off the head of the bull, bury it in a place in the barn, and send the rest of the animal for the feast. So the day came when the Pentecostals arrived to have their feast. They stood around the table, nicely prepared beef, and said, "Let's pray for the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost wasn't falling. As they were praying and the Holy Ghost wasn't falling, their leader got up and started moving. And he said, "When he moves, we have to follow him." So he moved, walked, entered the barn and said, "Dig this place." Hey. When they dig the place, he pulled out the head of the bull. And he asked the grandfather, "Do you know something about this?" The grandfather believed. He became a believer that day. He became a believer that day. I mean, this is too wonderful. So it was against such a background that when they heard, then some of the people decided that, you know, this boy, he's seen a vision. God is speaking to us. So they sold their possessions. In fact, the day most of the Christians were leaving, they were jeered, laughed, "Oh, what are you doing? That was a small boy has had a dream." Anyway, they moved to America. Long and short of it, a few years later, the Ottoman Turks invaded Armenia. Oh, it was not easy for the Christians. Sometimes they'll put a lot of Christians into a barn and set it on fire. Oh, yeah. You see, but God had used the boy prophet, who was a little child, who was involved in the work, to prophesy about this and say, "Look, that's what the Bible says, that by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet, he preserved them." So little children can be used in the work. Next group, fathers. We've seen it in 1 Timothy, but John also talks about it. In 1 John 2:13, he says, "I write unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because ye have known the Father." Wow. And then the third group that John talks about is young men. Again, 1 John 2:13. "I write unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because ye have known the Father."
Men and brethren, I think that the message is clear. That you and I, God demands of us that we be involved in the work. Oh yes, there are many things you can do in the house of God. Some people sing. During the week, one of the ladies who cleans the washrooms, it was her birthday, and I was very happy to pray for her, because I said, look, what you are doing, if you decide not to do it, do you know that there's a condition called intestinal obstruction? I'm about to close. Where, due to some disease, a part of the intestine doesn't move. And when there's intestinal obstruction, it starts with constipation. It means you can't move your bowel. It will not work. Then what is even more serious is absolute constipation. Okay, first you can't move your bowel, but you can release gas. But when it goes to a different stage now, that one too stops. Then the most wicked phase of intestinal obstruction is that since the produce can't go down, it has to come out somehow. So it has to. That's the only other. There's no other outlet. Yeah. So next time you wake up in the morning and you're able to release, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Yes. Because every part, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4:15. It says, 14. Yeah. But let's start from 12. 11. Why God gives us? Because some of us think that in church, the people who should be doing the work, they are the ones. And the rest of us, we are spectators. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. What would the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers do? They will perfect the saints. In the NIV, it says they will equip the people of God for works of service, so that the people of God will do the work of the ministry. Let's read that again, verse 12 in the King James. The work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of God. You and I are supposed to edify each other. I was ministered to powerfully during the Higham Convention by seeing a certain lady just coming forward and dancing. I said, man, I mean, sometimes when I watch the dancers, I said, they are ministers of joy. You may think that was just a small girl as well, but somehow by their dancing, I am edified. I'm part of the body of Christ and I'm edified. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted. How does the body work? That's the by that which every joint supplies.
pray. You see, when a part of the body becomes redundant, if when a part of the body loses oxygen support, it's actually an emergency that can cause the whole body to be in danger. That's why sometimes amputations happen. That part is cut off so that it doesn't affect the rest of the body. He says, by which every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of. See, effectual working. You are working well in your place. He is working well in the place. He is working well in. There are no areas which are just left, you know, determined. Like all of us don't get involved in the math. And the math meetings, all of us don't get involved in evangelism, all of us don't get involved in even the worship in church. It's like a few people come and take part in the worship, and then the rest of us come. All of us don't get involved, but from today, make up your mind that I'm going to be involved. I am all. All means all. All means all. All means all. Make it increase. Make it increase. That is how the body grows. Make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Growth will come. Development will come when every part of the body takes part in it. You know, people who are very good, I don't have that ear, but major orchestra conductors, they know that every instrument is important in the orchestra. One day I heard of an orchestra playing big concerts. But, you know, there are wind instruments like trombone, big sound, bom, 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 bom. Trumpets, saxophones, they are big. But there's also a small wind instrument called the piccolo. It's like a pencil, very small. So one day, as the whole orchestra was playing in full blast, the piccolo player decided that, me too, what am I doing in this thing? Oh, trombones are playing, and saxophones are playing, they are making powerful sounds to be heard, and me too, I'm doing me, 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 me inside it. Then he stopped playing. But you see, the leader of the orchestra was very skilled. He realized that he didn't hear that sound. You see, could it be that God does not feel, no matter how small your contribution, something God does not feel, because immediately the piccolo player stopped, and the guy looked at him and said, No. Keep playing. I need to hear that sound. It's part of the contribution. It's an important part of what we are doing. Without it, somebody who is an expert will say, oh, it's okay. But hey, that person says, keep playing. Brethren, Joshua went to the battle with 3,000, 10%, and lost. But when he marshaled 30,000 men, they crushed the men of Ai and won a great victory. Let us all be involved in the work to secure great victories for the Lord. Stand to our feet. Let's close.
Begin to pray for yourself. Say, Lord, what is my part? What should I play? What should I do? I must be involved. I must do something. Thank you, Jesus. Pray for yourself and say, Lord, I have a gift. I have a calling. Help me to do what I have to do in the name of Jesus. Rabo shakataya mama le bali mikataya baba. Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Re bali bi shakata babo le bali mi ayamama. Thank you, Lord. Mi ando lobo shabende le bekaya. Le bali mi misataya mamande le bekaya. Holy Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus. What is my part? What shall I do? Oh yes, Lord. Rakatabo Shabalibi Ayamama, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. My God, my God. Iyande Libibaya. Alababo. Not according to our works. Ribalo Baba Shedibi Ayamama. According to his own purpose and grace. which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Lord, help me to pursue my calling. Lord, help me to do what I have to do. Keep me, O God, from inactivity. Keep me from holding back. Ah, your word declared that cursed be he that doeth the Lord of the work of the Lord deceitfully. Cursed be he that keepeth back his soul from the blood. May we not have people who are keeping back their soul from the blood. But may we have people, O God, who are deploying themselves, O God, giving themselves, O God, involving themselves, O God, energy, O God. Rabido sheblande neme ayamama ishakata babole bebi alemimi astet. In the name of Jesus, somebody pray this morning that Father of God, may I be involved. You know, I think that this is a very important message for the Macarius area fellowships that we have. I learned, because I had a camp with my people, and I realized that many of them were not involved in Macarius Area Fellowships. Oh yeah, they're not involved. They're not involved. But I think that for a group that meets for maybe 1.5 hours on a Saturday, okay, even if for some reason you're not able to attend, you're being a member. You see, because for instance, I'll give an example. For instance, part of the area fellowship, because if you are flowing according to Acts 2:42, there's the apostles' doctrine, which is sharing the outline that we study in the word of God. Then there's prayer. Actually, apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Then there's breaking of bread. Then there's prayers. So for instance, if you can't be involved in a way that you can't be there physically, can you not say that, okay, so for your breaking up, because the breaking up, they are not eating fufu and plantain chips and drinks, I mean something, so that you are also by that which every joint supplies. And then why don't you find out where the area fellowship is in your area or near you, so that you can be involved, so that you are nurtured and you also help to nurture other people, encourage them. I think it's a good place to start from. Just the area fellowship is a good place to start from. Lift your hands and thank the Lord and ask him to give you, be a doer and not a hearer only, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Make an increase of itself, edifying the body unto love, in the name of Jesus. Rabbi Shakotali Andelebe Maya. Blessed be your holy name, O God, for this revelation, O God, that we ought to involve ourselves in the work. Everyone has to be involved, in the name of Jesus. Lord, help me. If that's only the area fellowship I can be involved in, Lord, please help me. Let me do it right. Let me do it right. Let me do it right. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you thanks. Thank you for building up the body, O God. Thank you for helping the body to grow. Lord, may we not be inactive members, O God. May we be active in the body, in the name of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you are here, but you have not given your life to Jesus. That's where you start from. You enter the body of Christ by giving your life to Jesus. So today I would like to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. I want you to raise up your right hand if you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to be a publicly recognized member of the body of Christ. Yes, lift up your hand. I'll pray with you. Do lift up your hand, because it's very, very important. The Lord Jesus said that if you are ashamed of me and my words, I'll also be ashamed of you before my Father. But I believe that today you're not going to be ashamed. So if you've lifted up your hand, I want you to come to me, because I can't really see at the back very well. It's a bit dark. So come to me in the front. If you have lifted up your hand, I want you to come right here and I'll pray with you. Yes. If you lifted up your hand, I need somebody around you lifted up their hand. Encourage them to come. It's very, very important. You are entering the body of Christ. Yes. Encourage them as they come. Encourage them as they come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. 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 Make an increase. Whoever invited these people has also played his part in increasing the body of Christ. God bless you. Come in today. Come in today. Come into my heart. This is a very important thing you've done. Those of you who are here, I want to pray with you, okay? Say after me, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Please forgive me. Wash away my sins. Write my name in the book of life. Father, I thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, celebrate. Hallelujah. It's now time for communion. Just like every part of the service, this is an important part of the service. I'd like to ask Bishop Big D to come and take us in the time of communion.
Drink, this yes. is my blood, which was shed for you.
Hallelujah. Lord, prepare me.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
The drummer should take his time. Just the keyboard.
Pure and holy.
Lift up your bread.
Tried and true. With hands given, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Father, we thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for this wonderful miracle meal that we are about to partake of. Father, as it enters into us, we receive miracles, we receive blessings, we receive healings, we receive deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen. Say the body of Christ. Eat it. Bible says that they overcame by the blood. I want to tell you that as we are about to take the communion, your overcoming is also coming in the name of Jesus. I don't know what you have to overcome in your life, but whatever you need to overcome, Bible says by the blood they overcame. The blood of Jesus. Drink it. Lift up your hands. Father, we thank you that we have overcome every burden in our life. We thank you that madness is gone, schizophrenia is gone, inability to sleep in the night is gone, inability to eat, anorexia is broken, spirit of back pain, spirit of headache, spirit of knee joint pain, every form of chest pain, pneumonia, every blood disease, every sickness that requires weekly medication and visits to the hospital, kidney failure, every sugar disease, diabetes, every problem you are having, appendix, every hidden sickness that cannot be I diagnosed in the hospital, everything that has been told you by this communion, Father, we thank you that it is broken. The hand of Satan is broken over your life. Spirit of poverty is broken. Spirit of owing is broken in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Ghost who is filling us right now. As we took the communion, we give you praise and we give you thanks in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful teaching from the Macarius Church headquarters, East Legon Hills, Accra. Stay blessed.
I am waiting.